Again, God has blessed us with just a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll try to talk as loud as I can, and I hope that that'll be effective in you being able to hear the message this morning. We'll try to make sure that all these are recorded and put on the internet. Appreciate again Mark and his good work and keeping our website up to date. And sometimes I fail to hit the record button, and so if you go online to look for a sermon, it's not there. That's probably what happened. So I've hit it this morning, so if you want to go back and listen to the sermon, you can do that and share it with others who may be interested in knowing the truth and the work that we're undertaking. Last week, we talked about a topic asking the question, who would have a problem with Jesus? We took for our basis of that study from Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14, where the Lord did some teaching, and there was some of the religious leaders, some individuals who had a problem with him. They were offended at the things that Jesus had stated. And so last week we talked about a number of things in which Jesus said that's revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of which individuals have a problem with today. And when you teach individuals what Jesus said, if they have a problem with those words, they don't have a problem with you necessarily, but they have a problem with Jesus, because we get what we teach from the Word of God as revealed in the Bible. And so I want us to continue this week in looking at some areas in which individuals today would have a problem with Jesus. The first one I want to suggest to you is that individuals would have a problem with Jesus when Jesus prayed that the disciples would be one. That is, when they would be unified. There's no mistaking the fact that we live in a religiously divided world today. Folks think that you cannot have absolute truth, that it does not exist. And you see the result of that in our world. There are over thousands of different religious bodies in our world today. Think of that, thousands. All of them separated by what they teach. They're not in unity. And as a result of that, you see the world that we live in, that folks are divided. But yet Jesus, when he was praying to the Father, stated in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. John 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone." When he says, "I don't pray for these only," or "these alone," he's talking about the apostles. He had just prayed for the apostles. And one of the things that Jesus had prayed concerning the apostles is that they would be one. But then he says again, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That includes you if you believe on him through the word that is revealed in the Bible. He says that they also may be one, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So I ask you, do you believe that unity is possible? Well, a lot of folks don't. You think, well, that's just the religious world in which we live in, but we believe that we can be unified. There's a lot of division even among God's people that ought not be. You think about the good number of passages that talk about unity in the Bible. Psalm 133:1. "How beautiful it is that brethren dwell together in unity." In Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." God expects us to be unified and condemns division. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 10. And so when folks today say, "Well, I have a problem thinking that everybody can believe the same thing and practice the same thing," guess who they have a problem with? Jesus. I think about the statement that is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. Someone may say, "Well, how in the world do you take a group of people and everybody believe the same thing, teach the same thing, practice the same thing?" That's answered in the Bible. When Paul was writing to the church of Christ at Philippi, he said this as revealed in Philippians 3 and in verse 16. "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Religious unity is only possible when we walk by the same rule, when we have the same standard. And what is that standard? the Bible, the Word of God. Not what I think, what you think, or some preacher says, but what the Bible teaches. And so let's not have a problem with the fact that Jesus prayed for unity. But as you think about who would have a problem with Jesus, I want to recommend another one to you. That is those who believe that there is no coming judgment. Sometimes Christians themselves live their lives as though there's never going to be a judgment day. People today live their lives as though there's no judgment to come. As a result of that, people are busy about doing the things that they're doing on this day as opposed to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." And he pictures a judgment on that occasion in Matthew chapter 25, verses 36 through 41, or 31 rather, through 46. And he's talking about that great crowd that is assembled when he would separate them as a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats. Remember that? That's a picture, a scene of the judgment to come. Got a lot of young people among us. I'm thankful for that. And you may think, well, I've got years and years ahead of me. That may be the case. You may have a lot of years ahead of you. But I don't know that that's the case, and neither do you. I hope that it is. If God allows time to continue, that He allows you to continue, and that you have a long life. But that may not be the case. Listen to the words of the wise man, as penned in Ecclesiastes 11 and in verse 1. Notice what he says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Then he drops down in verse 9, and listen what he says about youth. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk thou in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." So he says, go ahead, be young. Walk in the ways of your eyes, in the ways of your sight, in the ways of thine heart. But listen to what he says. Don't forget this. "But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." There's a judgment to come, and he closes out the book in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is a whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing in that day." So there's a judgment to come. Some folks may say, "I don't believe that there's an afterlife. I don't believe there's a judgment to come." Don't be deceived by that. Take the time now to be ready for that day, because it's coming. But also, who would have a problem with Jesus? A lot of folks today would have a problem with Jesus when Jesus teaches us that we are to have a forgiving spirit, a character that would be willing to forgive others. You think that the world lacks a forgiving character today? I tell you, there's a lot of people in the world who can hold a grudge and hold it tightly. Don't be that kind of person. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, I know that individuals may do you wrong. They may say wrong things. They may take you for granted, take advantage of you, but don't be unwilling to forgive. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses..." You need to forgive someone. Someone done you wrong, you need to forgive them. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." You want forgiveness, right? I do too. Then I've got to be willing to forgive others. But then he goes on to say, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So always be willing to forgive. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 21. Matthew 18 and in verse 21 beginning. Peter came to the Lord and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Try to put a limit on it. Seven times, then I'm done with him. Don't grow weary, by the way, of forgiving others. So he asked the Lord, "How often do I have to forgive my brother? Till seven times?" Listen to what the Lord said. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The Lord's not putting a cap on it. He's saying, be ever willing to forgive. Have you been willing to forgive? Or do you hold grudges? Look at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So you might think of someone that comes to mind, you say, you know what, they were willing to repent. They told me they're sorry for what they did, and I'm not being forgiving. I've not forgave them for what they did against me. Purpose when you leave here today, that you'll go and let them know that you are willing to forgive because they've asked you to forgive them. They repented of what they've done. Be willing to forgive. God's forgiveness, by the way, is stipulated on man's repentance. And God won't ask of you to do what He is not willing to do. But when men are willing to repent, you be willing to forgive. But also, as you think about who would have a problem with Jesus. By the way, all of these statements come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Things that Jesus said. Notice, if you will, Matthew 6 and then verse 24. For our next point. Matthew chapter 6 and then verse 24. Jesus said, no man. By the way, when He says no man, that includes you and me and all others. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It is impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to live part-time for the Lord and part-time for the devil. That never has worked and never will work. You cannot serve two masters. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 10, when Paul's writing to Timothy about the work of an evangelist, talking to him about the work of preachers, he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Make sure that you have a love of God and not putting your love on money. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay up for yourselves treasures in earth, or in heaven, where the moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break forth and steal. Don't lay them upon the earth, the Lord says, where moth and rust corrupts and where the thieves break forth and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart at? On earthly things or heavenly things? We hope that the lesson's been beneficial to you. If you're in our assembly this morning, having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, we encourage you to do that. You do that by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. It's never changed. I dare not stand before you today and offer you some other plan of salvation than what you find in the book of books, the Bible, by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believing it, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ, and you believe that He is the Son of God, as the Lord commanded, Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts chapter 2, and in verse 38. We encourage you to do that. Perhaps you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord, you realize that, and like the prodigal son, you've come to yourself, having lived in that far country, and you want to be reconciled with the Father. He's made provision for that. You repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't spurn the invitation. Come as together we sing this song of invitation.